Ready and waiting. Well, maybe not quite ready. Some of those unwritten Christmas cards dragging like Morley's chains behind you, or other done undone preparations. Take heart, because just by being here and being part of this community, you've heard the good things that we're doing and people are doing with your money and your faithful time and support. We're already part of paving the road to Christmas. And ready or not, the baby is coming. So we need to prepare, making some space in our hearts for something new to be born. And especially taking a stand for gratitude, letting our souls take a stand for gratitude, accepting what is, even if our circumstances are challenging, being grateful for the life we have and the people we're sharing it with, and then being open for surprises. Time in God's hand is a funny thing. Just like this time of the year, the past and the present and the future kind of blur together. People are on our minds. The prophets got all their verb tenses mixed up, present, past, and future. They spoke as if something was already happening, even if you looked around, it didn't seem to be the case. How do we wait when what we're waiting for doesn't seem to be happening? How do we prepare when we're not sure if our preparations will have the outcome we desire? In our first scripture today, we hear that John the Baptist is waiting. He's waiting in prison. Why is he there? He has been resisting the empire of his day. And now he's waiting to hear if another will come to take up where he has been stopped. And so he sends word to Jesus, "Are you the one we're waiting for? Or are we to wait for someone else to come?" Word comes back to John that in fact, the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, good news is being brought to the poor. And as John sat there, knowing he'd likely never see the light of day, deep in his heart, he felt the joy of knowing the one he'd been waiting for was here. And how do we know? We know when we see those signs of good things happening. And we can prepare to wait by being part of them and to seek out where they are happening in the world. I heard a good story the other day. There's a sweet deal being cut by Venezuela and Cuba, and it goes like this. Plane loads of thousands of campesinos arrive on Cuba's beach from Venezuela. They are greeted by eye specialists, Cuba's finest, and they're given laser surgery, state of the art. They get back on the plane and many see for the first time. Or, for those who've had difficulty seeing, it's vastly corrected. Can you imagine when they get back that there's a little bit of singing and dancing and leaping for joy going on? Meanwhile, Cuba gets oil. Getting my verb tenses or my nouns mixed up here. Cuba gets oil from Venezuela, and their campesinos get to drive the tractors and life goes around a little more smoothly. Despite being in the shadow of empire, these two countries find a way to lift up the life of many people. Lifting up the life in a way that perhaps Mary, the mother of Jesus, could relate to. A lot of the art that comes from the South depicts Mary as a poor campesina. You've seen some of it. Those of us who've been in Nicaragua, Bolivia, Guatemala over the years, we see the many faces of Mary, not meek and mild, but a Mary with strong hands from farming, and a Mary who's expectant that good things are coming to people like her. In fact, the Guatemalan government in the 1980s, some of you might remember this, banned the reading of Mary's Magnificat in public. You weren't allowed to say it out loud in churches or on radio stations, that very thing that we sang this morning, because it was subversive. It might give people the idea that God actually wanted the lowly to be lifted up and good things be brought to the poor. Well, Mary, in her song, gives us a clue as to how we wait in God's time. There are three phases to this waiting. We wait as if it's already happened, what it is we're waiting for. We wait actively, not passively. As Dawn said, we do those works. And we wait knowing that while we plant the seeds, we're in God's time. We wait patiently and persistently, knowing that when timing is right, beyond our input, a thing will happen if it's right and true and good. Mary also knows that we're not meant to wait alone. We're not meant to wait alone. We're meant to wait in tough times and in wonderful times in company. So Mary goes off to seek out Elizabeth, another woman who's having an unusual birth. After 3 months of pondering, crying, maybe shaking a fist at God, who knows? Mary takes a stand for gratitude. Despite the external circumstances, her soul stands with gratitude and she rejoices, saying, "This is an opportunity. I will take what I am living now, and I will let God work through me. And furthermore, while I'm at it, I will line up with another woman in my scriptures, Hannah. Hannah, who also had an unusual birth and who decided to raise her child to live out God's purposes. I will stand with God's promises, and I will sing Hannah's song and make it my own." And so she does, and that's how we have the marvelous Magnificat, which we are called now to make our own in our own time and place. Pardon me for mixing up my verb tenses, but Mary wouldn't have what's going on today. We'll call it the Obama moment, not to slag Obama. We all still have some hopes, but as you read in Sojourners magazine, wealth is being redistributed to the top in a very weird way these days. We don't have to lecture you about that. I was a bit sobered. A good friend of mine who's a labor lawyer in Washington, D.C., phoned me the other night saying 1 in 5 of working Americans are out of work right now. These aren't the chronically unemployed, those on social assistance, those who are retired, or those who've given up. These are 1 in 5 people who normally are gainfully employed at good jobs. She was actually hoping for a job change, but she said there isn't one to go to. What would Mary think of Toronto, Ontario, where we've now cut quietly $2 billion of corporate tax cuts? We're now at the level of Texas. And I think you might guess what happens in Texas. For the public monies available for the school system, etc. Meanwhile, our people get angry. They know they're paying more tax through the hated HST, and what do? They vote for cutting back government spending. It's kind of a false logic. But we're going in the opposite way. And yet, we hear Mary's song, and we're called to make it our own. We're called to be faithful to the words and to God's will that we do close the gap and we find a way to share in God's abundance. Who are we waiting for? If we were being honest, we'd say it's not just the baby Jesus to catch a fresh glimpse of who he is for us. We're waiting perhaps for that special someone. We're waiting for that apology or a restoration, a repaired love, or maybe somebody brand new. We're waiting for somebody perhaps not a life partner, but we're waiting for somebody to help us step towards a dream or even to take the next step. And what if we are the ones we're waiting for? What if, as Gandhi said, we are the change we're waiting for? What if during this Advent time we help that little child inside of us be nurtured and held by the adult that we are now? That we get ourselves together, as the saying goes, and that we grow up and step up into being fiercely real. Not complete, because we are complete in community, we are complete with other people, but whole in ourselves and ready to receive the spiritual gifts that God has for us, to accept who we are with gratitude in this time and place, to accept what we can still do to be part of those things that make the lame leap and the blind see. Perhaps we are all in the birth canal spiritually in this time, struggling to be born. Master Eckhart in the 14th century, said, "We are all meant to be mothers of God. What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly, but does not take place within myself? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace, if I am not also full of grace? What good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to his Son, if I do not also give birth to him in my time and day?" So let us be open as we go forward on this road, as we turn the corner from joy to love. Let us be open that even if we're feeling spiritually dry or rushed or pressed, like the rain that's come today, we will be watered by God's grace. God will move gently through our own vulnerabilities and wounds to bring forward abundance. Because it's in God's very nature to have a bias towards healing and wholeness, towards justice and love and peace. As Einstein said, the universe is friendly, and the divine energies conspire with us once we take a stand for gratitude and then step up like Mary to be part of some plan, or even take the next step or reach out a hand. So whatever your traveling is as you proceed towards Christmas, in God's time, may the seeds you plant now bear some fruit, and in fact, bring some joy. Amen.